They put the springboard down 2 inches. 16 of the contestants at the Olympics fell on their faces because of 2 inches. Now, I have a feeling that all of you already have contact with the person of Christ. Nearness is not salvation. You may be that close to salvation and end up in a Christless eternity. Two men were close, very close, physically to the person of Christ. One would pass forever, forgotten, and lost. And the other, forever, with the Lord. Look with me in Luke chapter 23. We're going to go right to the cross. Right to the place where we must meet God. And we're going to look at these two thieves. And really, almost in picture language, in symbolic terms, these two men represent all of us. All of us. In between these two men is the answer to our soul's need. Verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Now notice this man is crucified along with the other thief and along with Jesus. But this man wasn't thinking of his soul. He was thinking of his mortal life. He was thinking of getting out of his present condition, to getting down from that cross, getting back into his life of vanity. And so he mocks the Christ of the cross and says to him, "Get us out of this mess. I don't want to be here." Now, our brother Paul was talking about burdens. You might be the type of individual who says, what's he talking about? I'm okay. I feel all right. I've done my best. I treat my fellow man fine. Oh, I have some problems. When I get into difficulties, I'll pray to God and ask him to get me out of this mess. Now notice, in this passage, Jesus does not answer that man. There's no conversation. There's no link. Listen, please listen. We don't want you to be this close to salvation. We're not asking much. We're not asking you to join this church group. No. We're not asking you for any money. But we would like it if you would be perfectly honest with yourself. Perfectly honest with God. I don't want anybody coming here today and you say, "You know, I've had so many people, they're all trying to get me saved." well, I'm not going to come here, and you're not going to be the person to get me saved, and I don't have to tell these people, aha, you tried to get, he's not going to do it either, I win. I don't, forget that. This isn't a competition, this is not a contest. We are sincerely concerned with your soul. We're concerned about your personal salvation. Even if you never come through these doors again, what's important to us is that you find the Christ of the cross, the Christ of Calvary, the man in between these two thieves. You find him personally as your Savior because you're nailed to your sins. Those sins that you commit, even if you don't want to call them sins, are judging you. And you're lost. You're lost without hope and without God. Oh, who are you to tell me what? I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm stating a fact that's revealed to us in the Word of God. Here's a man, a criminal, could be a murderer, nailed to a cross next to another criminal. In the middle is Jesus, also nailed to a cross. And this man has the gall to mock the Son of God. Get us out of this mess, will you please, whoever you think you are? Now listen to me. Would you dare to do this? Would you dare to mock what God has done, God the Father has done in His Son? Would you dare to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, that's worthless. You're nobody. We'd like to take you to the cross. Maybe you don't want to go. Maybe you don't want to see yourself. Stop a minute. Stop right where you are at. Don't defend yourself. Don't pretend. Think about yourself. Think about who you are. Have you committed sins? We don't like that subject today. We don't want to talk about sin today. I'm talking to you as an individual. Don't look around. What are you talking to me for? God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to show you something. He wants to show you that your sins will condemn you forever. And if you do not look to that Christ of the cross, you will be damned forever. God's a God of love. He'll forgive me. Remember, in this passage, Jesus does not talk to the man, to the criminal that mocked him. There's no answer there. There's no dialogue between Jesus and that man. Jesus is available. He didn't talk to either one of these criminals. There was no dialogue except himself. So one of the thieves looks at him and says, get us out of this mess. What's your response? What's your response to a crucified Christ? We're not talking about religion here. We're not talking about good deeds. We're not talking about turning over a new leaf, changing your way of thinking, trying to be a good person. We're not even talking about philosophy. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about you and God. You and Jesus Christ. You and a crucified Savior. Think about this, how near this man is placed, juxtaposition with a Christ who's hanging on a cross. He looks at him. He sees the inscription, King of the Jews. He sees that. Doesn't register. Nothing registers. I want to get out of this. I'm hurting. I'm going to die. Perhaps this day he's going to die, because he's been hanging on that cross, and they're going to come and they're going to break his legs, and then the weight of no more standing on that little step, and that weight of that is going to suffocate him. He's going to die. And he says, get us out of this mess. Can you believe that we can be so vain and so full of pride and arrogance that we can't humble ourselves as a little child in our desperation, in our need, because we're lost, and we cannot come to Jesus Christ in our sins and say to him, I'm the sinner. I'm lost. Lord Jesus, I see that what you did on that cross was for me. What do we have to give up? What will it take to bring us to our senses? Verse 40. But the other, he hears this. He looks over at the thief on the other side of the Lord Jesus. And he wants to talk to him. Now they're talking. These men are dying. So far, the Lord Jesus hasn't uttered a word. Not a word. He's listening. He's listening to your thoughts today. What's going on then? What's going on in your head right now at this meeting? What's going on there? Are you rebelling? Are you reacting? I can't take this. Is he able to see your response? Of course he is. Jesus is listening to these two men. Amazing. He doesn't step in. He never does that. He's not going to force you into any decision against your will. He's not going to do that. No one forced you to come here today. What did you come here today for? Maybe God sent you here today. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe. Maybe, rather than being 2 inches out of reach, stumbling all over, he wants to correct one little detail in your final decision to trust in Christ. And maybe that's this morning. He wants to correct that. So this thief, this man dying, this man who also is hanging on a cross, he rebukes the other man. Do you not even fear God? Seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh, I like this. The thief on the cross who rebukes the other thief said, you know, it's not fair that we're put on these crosses. I mean, it's the system. It's the Roman government. The bureaucracy. It's their fault. We didn't do anything wrong. Now, we have a friend who's a prison guard. Believe me, there's not one prisoner that's guilty. I mean, they were wronged by the system. They're innocent. They're all innocent. As a young man here in Milwaukee, we went down to the mission often. We worked with alcoholics. They all had their story, and some of the stories were very sad. And I remember one time, Al and I were preaching down there, and we said, now, if any men want to respond, there's a room here. And we were just young men, just 18, 19 teenagers. You know, they knew all the language. Run into the room, get on their knees. I want to confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You do, huh? I don't believe you. Huh? What do you really want? Would you call my wife? I can't get home. You see, they had all the language, but they weren't sincere. They were not really dealing with the sin question. They heard it so many times that it became a system, a routine. Now, you may come here today and you've heard these gospel stories and messages so often that you've become dull of spirit. A missionary was preaching in India on a street corner. Preached his heart out. 20 years passed. For 20 years he went to that street corner and preached. There was a man there, I think he was of the Hindu persuasion. He would sit there and he would take that opportunity to sell his wares. People would come and he'd sell things. All of a sudden, this missionary said, listen to me! And he said, oh, first time in 20 years. Oh, okay, what? And he heard the gospel for the first time. And the man trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now you come here, and you say, well, okay, that's fine, can't wait to get over. Packers are playing this afternoon, I hope they win. They played a crummy game, 6-3, now this time I hope they win by 20 points. And you want to go here and there, and the Badgers lost yesterday, what a terrible game. So, you got all kinds of things, you want to go home to your meal, to your family, or whatever you're going to do. Would it be possible to listen to the voice of God just for a moment? Just open your heart for a moment. Just say, all right, I've got my ideas. I've got my way of looking at things. Okay, I will listen. First thing I want you to hear is this. You're guilty. You're a guilty sinner. The blame cannot be placed on a system or on your family, on your husband or your wife. The blame for your sins is your own. This man says, we're being judged. We're being condemned. We deserve it. He didn't say sin, but it's there. We're the ones who committed the evil. We're getting what we deserve. Now, if you can say that in all honesty, then God will speak to you. When the minute this man was able to put the blame on himself, then Jesus was able to speak to him. The other thief, mocking, indifferent, stayed as he was. And as he's forever forgotten by God. He's forever lost. But this man, first of all, he says, smarten up. Look at this in the right perspective. We deserve what we're getting. And then he looks at the man being crucified in the middle. And he sees that written over his head, King of the Jews. He'd heard about this man. And he says, but this man is innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. They condemned him wrongly. Here is a thief here is an evil man defending the honor of Jesus Christ. The man is innocent. I find that very amazing. Even the disciples of the Lord Jesus did not really grasp the full significance of what was happening. This man did. It's amazing. He did. This man is not dying for his own sins. Doesn't have any. What is he dying for? What did Jesus die for? Listen to me. Now listen to the second thing. You're guilty. You're the sinner. How in the world is a sinner going to get right with God? Even while we were yet sinners, Paul tells us, Christ died for us. Oh, wait a minute. Don't try to be righteous. Don't try to run from your sins. Don't place the blame anywhere else. Once you are willing to accept the blame for your own sins, once you are willing to say, I deserve whatever I'm getting. I deserve, listen to me, this is going to be hard now, I deserve hell. Oh, we don't want to say that. Not with Oprah. She tells us about the spirits and spirit world. We're all so wonderful and we're going to do wonderful things and do a good deed today. We're going to be a wonderful person and it's all this mushy stuff. Don't tell anybody they're lost. Don't tell anybody they're sinful. Don't tell anybody that they need to turn to Jesus Christ. Now this man, smarten up you, we're the ones who deserve to be punished. But this man, and he had to turn to this man, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Now we have Jesus responding. You're here today. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. God wants to respond. He wants to respond in salvation. He wants to respond to you. But individually, where you are, where you're seated, you have to come to Him. You have to come to Him. You have to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. You've got to turn to Jesus Christ in your desperation, with your burdens. Then he said to Jesus, he talked to the other thief. He said, wait a minute, that's not right. He talked about himself. We deserve this punishment. And now he talks to Jesus. Now Jesus is in agony. Jesus is suffering. Jesus is going to die. He's going to give up his life, not like these two men. They couldn't take his life away from him. He gave his life. What does he say? Sir, Lord, King of the Jews. This man's a king. I believe it, he said. Remember me? When you come into your kingdom. You know, that statement is so profound and yet so simple that maybe we pass over it too lightly. Do you realize that this man believed that Jesus would rise from the dead? When you come into your kingdom, But this man who was dying, like he was dying on a cross, he says, remember me. He realized that salvation was personal. Well, I come from a Christian family, and I've been in a church group, and really all the officials there, they handle all the spiritual problems. And if, as long as I stay with that particular church group, I'll be all right. I don't have to know too much. I don't have to even look too much in the Bible. They are going to handle my spiritual life. Rubbish! Well, I have family, and I know that my husband or my wife is a very sincere Christian. He or she reads the Bible, and I am very close. I let them do what they want to do. I never step in their way. They can practice their faith. You're very close. Very close. Close the gap. What do you mean? Close the gap. Get involved personally, you personally, with Jesus Christ. Don't say, oh, that's fine. Don't say, well, they're okay. Don't rely on whoever it is. Don't even rely on me. You know, I can't put words in your mouth. I don't like that when people say, just pray this prayer after me and you'll be saved. No, 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 no. Some people do this. They're afraid you don't have enough knowledge to do anything. This man didn't have a very big prayer. It wasn't even, we would say, even theologically correct. He said a simple little statement. Remember me. Now, if you could do that this morning, just get all the cobwebs out of your brain. All your prejudices, could you put them aside for a moment? Acknowledge before Jesus Christ that you're a sinner and that you're lost. Acknowledge before Jesus Christ that He is the Savior, that He is the King, that He's the one who rules, that He has a kingdom, and you want to be part of it. And just want to say to this Jesus, the Son of God, who's died for your sins, save me. I'm lost. I want you as my Savior. Come into my life. I can't do it. I can't make myself better. I can't make any New Year's resolutions. I can't meet God's standards. I'm a transgressor. I'm a sinner. And I want you to take away my burden, like Pilgrim's Progress, the burden of sin, and you lay it upon Jesus Christ. That's what He's waiting to hear. That's why His hands were nailed to the cross. That's what He's waiting for. That's what He was waiting for from both of those men. That's what He was waiting for from the Roman soldiers. That's what He was waiting for from the Pharisees and the Jews. He wanted them to say, you are Savior. You are Messiah. You are King. You are Lord. Will you do that? Now look at the Lord Jesus. In my Bible it reads, and Jesus said to him. It doesn't read, and Jesus said to them. We'd like to have it say that. Some of you sitting here would say, oh, I wish He had said that, and Jesus said to them. Then I would have included both of these men. No, 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 no. This one who responded to Jesus, he knew it was personal. Now notice, he didn't say, remember us. I mean, that poor thief on the cross over there, I know he's mocking you. No, no, he wasn't thinking. He was thinking in the terms of his own personal salvation. And there's nothing wrong with that. all we're asking you to do this morning is, on a personal level alone, in the quietness of your own heart, to say before Jesus Christ, I want you to be my Savior because I am lost. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that was his way of speaking with authority. Assuredly, verily. When he said that, whatever he had to say was absolutely, absolute authority. It would come to pass. It was a promise that could not be broken. As surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What a statement. Now the one who mocked Jesus is going to go into a Christless eternity alone. Forever alone. Now the scriptures call this, he will be cast into outer darkness. When I was in the service, I had to help in taking care of the needs of a captain. Shine his shoes, fold his clothes, do all those little stupid things. I'm sorry if there's been any captains here. Maybe you weren't like that, but I had to do all this butler work. And it was raining. And he said to me, because we were out in bivouac, playing war, he said, go out and guard the tent. Pouring out. Make sure there's no intruders. I went out to guard the tent. It was absolutely pitch black. I couldn't even see the rifle in front of my nose. And I stood out there, and it's ready. And I thought there was footsteps. So I'd cry out, who goes there? And he'd say, shut up! Stupid soldier. Well, I was frightened. I didn't know. I don't know what's going on. Darkness. And darkness frightens us. But can you imagine yourself in outer darkness forever? No light, no hope, no conversation, no you and your sins. I cringe at that thought, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to take the side with the thief who mocked Jesus. Why don't you join with the thief who saw this personal salvation and said to Jesus, remember me. And Jesus assuredly says to this man, because Jesus knew that he would be giving up his life that very day, he said, today, together, we're going to be in paradise. And we'll always and forever be together. When Jesus talked to his disciples in the upper room in John 14, he said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Why? That where I am, there you will be also. And one of the wonders of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he takes sinners like us, lost, without hope, he takes us out of darkness, relieves our burden, as we heard in this song. And then he says, you're going to be with me, with Christ, with God the Son, forever. Well, that God is going to give to each one of us who respond to him by faith, he's going to give to us everlasting life with himself forever in glory. Now, are you going to hear the voice of Christ today? You won't if you remain in your sins. Come out of your pride for a moment. Come out of the way you do things and think of things. Why don't you respond? Why don't you confess to the Lord Jesus that you're lost and you're sinful? The Son of Man came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke tells us, chapter 10 and verse 19. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here he is on the cross. And here this morning, we know he's risen. He's seated at the right hand of God. But just for a moment, here he is in our midst, asking you to come to him. Well, I want you to take care of my family, take care of my situation, improve my life, get me out of my mess. That's not what he wants to hear. What he wants to hear is, I'm a lost sinner. Lord Jesus, save me. And his response is going to be a promise. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. All you that come to me are burdened or heavy laden, I will give you rest. You will be with me in paradise. I wish I could force you to make this decision. I can't. I would love to. I'd like to come right down there and grab you by the wake up! Do it! Huh? What? Do what? Didn't you hear a word I said? Huh? Oh, yeah, what? I don't quite understand. We're in Brooklyn. We went down to try to speak to the Haitians who speak French, and they wanted us to come down because we knew French. It was Easter morning. Some Haitians came, but they could speak English. And we gave a message in English. And a girl, a teenage girl, after the meeting, came up to me and she said, you mean I can be saved? I can have my sins forgiven? She said, I'd like to do that. And I mean, that's, you like to hear that. You'd like to do that. What if I had said, well, I don't like the way you look. You're Haitian and you don't get the salvation. It's only for Americans. What's the matter with you? You're crazy? Now, I'd like it if someone here this morning, maybe it won't come to me, would trust in Jesus Christ as his personal or her personal Savior.